Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Zurian Show. How is everybody doing today? Yes, this is an early show, but we're going to try to bring you as much information as we possibly can. And we're going to do our best to give it to you in a way that you can, of course, understand and relate to. What controls your attention controls your life. Every day, each and every one of us go through a series of different events. Well, what a lot of us don't realize is that those distractions and other things that take place in our lives stay with us all day long. If you get into an argument with someone before you start your work day, that's going to affect your entire day. If somebody says something positive to you at the start of your day, that's going to affect your entire day. What has your attention takes control of you. So if you're having problems at home, you're having problems at work, those things, if they catch your attention, those are things that are going to bother you. A lot of us fail to understand that life happens. And again, as you've heard me say on several occasions, what happens to you isn't as important as how you react to it. But a lot of times, the way that we react to certain things is pre-programmed. And it's pre-programmed because we're conditioned to do certain things, especially if it's something that's got our attention, if it's something that we care about, if it's something that may not necessarily be important to us, but it's important to the person who brought it up. So since it's important to them, it's important to us, even though they may not believe that we think that way. Life is about living, and I hope that you would agree with me on that point. It is a real hard fact that what controls your attention controls your life. Where your attention goes, your energy flows. So goes your life. So each day, we all need to, again, guard our minds. We need to not let those negative influences into our lives and do everything that we possibly can to, one, not be the causer of negative things to come into our lives or other people's lives, but to also guard our minds to try to make sure that we don't let negative things come into our lives and that we don't also make ourselves the facilitators or orchestrators of negativity for other people's minds. Because what's going to happen is that those same people that you're throwing negativities to, not even consciously, unconsciously, they're going to start to remove you from their circle. And it may be a circle that you don't want to be removed from, because these may be positive people. The mind is like an empty glass. It will hold anything that you put into it. If you put sensational news and all types of negative headlines and talk show radio rants or talk show rants, you know, things that are not considered to be positive, things that are not going to help you to get through your day, to succeed in life, and that same negativity can be negative people, negative with negative outlooks or the darkness in their hearts. You know, if you read negative things, negative stories, things along that nature, things that do not basically help your mind to grow and develop. And I'm not talking about in the sense of imagination. Imagination is a beautiful thing. However, if you're spitting out a lot of negativity, then it's not negative. I mean, Stephen King can write some really interesting yet very horrible stuff. and a lot of people read it. And I'm not knocking Mr. King. He is a literary genius. He is a writer that has done stuff that is amazing. However, too much of the negative tones and the negative vibes that come from books like Mr. King's books, you know, even though, again, his imagination is phenomenal, those are things that kind of can bleed into your life. And if you take too much of them in, sometimes we replace fantasy for reality. Sometimes we replace horror for, again, our reality. So we have to really be careful with what we let in our mind, because if you continuously pour dirty water into your glass, if you're one of those people that's into the dark, the dismal, the worrisome, then that means the water in your glass is going to be dark, dismal, and worrisome. You know, everything that you create will be filtered through the muddy mess, and the muddy mess is all of the negativity that you're allowing to come into your mind, and then, too, again, allowing to come into your world. Because, again, you know, there's an old saying, you are what you eat. And that statement is kind of true in the sense of what you let in and what you let become part of you becomes you. You know, most of us have a lot of issues, you know, as far as us being adults that happened when we were kids. Some of those issues aren't even ours. You know, they're issues that we allowed other people and prejudices that we allowed other people to put into our minds, and now we believe and perceive those things as being real. You know, we have to really be careful to keep the garbage, and sometimes the garbage isn't just garbage in the physical sense, but it's garbage in our thinking. You know, that type of thinking is the type that most people use these days. You know, they fill their days with it. They fill their nights with it. They fill their every waking moment with gloom and doom. You know, it's just like the perception. You know, you have a husband that works late. Well, he forgets to call home. Okay, that husband that calls late, yes, he should have called. Yes, he was a bit inconsiderate. However, which is more inconsiderate, the wife or the significant other that didn't take the time to call that particular person, not call that person and reprimand them, which is bringing what? Negativity into the relationship. But the person that calls and says, hey, how's things going at work today? Honestly, caring and being legitimate about it. Okay, listen, we've got something I want to do, or I was wondering if you're going to be home at this time. Do you think you will? Again, no negative tone, no negative condensation. I mean, you know, no negative, not condensation, I'm sorry, no negative content involved. Speaking to that person with a positive tone and then letting that person know that no matter what your answer is, as long as it's reasonable, and again, reasonable is a point that may be seen differently from different people, but doing everything in a positive tone, that person is going to be a lot more likely to answer you, one, truthfully, and two, to answer you in a way that's going to, again, give you your wanted outcome. If your response to them is negative, then they're going to reply with whatever it is that they think they need to reply so that they don't have to deal with the negativity, especially if they are working or if they have other things going on. It's not that they're trying to blow you off. It's that you have created a negative environment. And again, please understand, I know that sometimes that negative environment is a two-street thing. Two people played at it. However, you know, I hear people always talk about who's the bigger person, you know, who's the grown-up, who's the adult, that type of thing. Well, understand, too, that if you set certain things up, they're going to fall a certain way. So I think the goal is not to set them up. So, men and women, when you talk to your significant other, when you talk to your coworkers, workers, when you're trying to show somebody the right way to do something, you also need to take that same path. Your position, your title, all of those things are irrelevant. We're human beings. Your job is a man-made creation. It is not real. It's something that we believe and perceive to be real. It's just like money having value. Money only has the value that we give it. Perfect example. Look at what the dollar is worth today, and then look at what the dollar was worth 70 years ago. There's a big difference. However, that dollar can be the same exact dollar that we looked at 70 years ago. But the perception and the actual value of that dollar has changed. And it's the same thing with your relationships. It's the same thing with the people that you deal with and that you know and that you supposedly love and care about and those that you say you respect. To respect a human being, it is not just a word. It is actually an action. It is something that needs to take place, again, not only in the sense of it takes place that, you know, you say you respect them, but you to actually respect them. Respecting them is, again, being active in your listening, allowing that person to finish, giving yourself an extra pause to make sure that they're finished their particular thought. You know, I am a violator of this myself. A lot of times when people pause, I assume that they've stopped. However, the problem is that sometimes my mind is moving a little bit faster. So I'm assuming that that dead space, which I should welcome, is my invitation to kick in. So I have to fight that urge to not talk over that person because, again, too, once a person feels as though they're not heard, the conversation is not going to move forward. The conversation is going to stagnate. But again, Log Talk and everybody listening today, the whole thing is about creating a positive tone and letting positive things into your life. My recommendations for anybody that sits in front of the television or reads books that do not help them grow, and when I say grow, I mean grow and develop, is you are hurting yourself. You are putting yourself in a position that you probably don't want to be in. And sometimes we do it out of habit. You know, we look for our sanctuaries in certain writings. We look for our, you know, something to do in staring at the idiot box. We call it the TV. However, please understand that reading is fundamental and it is a beautiful thing, but you still need to guard your mind on what it is that you read, what it is that you let into your mind, what it is that you let into your world, and how you then adjust that in your overall thinking. A lot of us are just too wrapped up in the too many Stephen Kings, too many vampire books, too many, you know, magic books, fantasy books. And what ends up happening is that we start to replace our realities with those fantasies. And then what type of fantasies are you allowing to fill your head with? You know, we really need to be careful. And we really need to also realize that life is for living. You are not living your life through someone else's fantasy. The only true fantasy is the fantasy you experience. The only way that you're going to experience your own fantasy is by you living your own life, not trying to live it vicariously through somebody else's books, not making someone else rich and famous as you sit there trying to vegetate and figure out how you're going to do what you need to do. The thinking of positive thinking and the thinking of positive action is something that is going to help you throughout your world. The thinking of negative things is, one, unhealthy, and the constant input of negative things is unhealthy. It's unhealthy to your life, and it's not going to help your present, and it's definitely not going to help your future. Your reading skills may be off the chart, but your mental skills may be lacking. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot Star Trek ourselves and beam ourselves to our office. We have to get into our cars, and we have to drive, okay? We cannot wave a magic wand and make someone disappear or reappear. We cannot blink our eyes together like Genie and I Dream of Genie. This may be dating myself. And, you know, voila, money balls or gold starts to come out the ceiling. We also need to understand that we are not our parents, nor are we our grandparents. Nor are we our great-grandparents. You being Irish just happens to be that you were born of Irish descent. There is no special prize for being Irish. There is no special prize for being Jewish or Muslim or Catholic or Episcopalian or Apostolic. There is no special prize for going to church. The special prize is knowing that there is a God and believing in him with your soul. Your presence in a building is not going to give you grace. It is not going to give you the right. You know, if you actually read the Bible and most of the other religious books, it says, if you think it, you might as well have done it. Well, a lot of people that seem to spend a lot of time in church are thinking a lot of things. So that would mean that they're doing what, if you were to read the books in which we're talking about? That means that they're sinning, even though they didn't physically do the sin. Why? Because they're thinking of the sin. But anyway, I'm just using this as an example. This isn't a show about any religion or any religious connotations or any of that. The show is about, again, positive thoughts, positive outlooks. The Bible, as another tool that we're using, has a lot of positive stories in it, but around all of those positive stories is also a lot of negative stories. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, when you wake up in the morning, try this. Wake up with a smile. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get in your car, understand that you're going to get there. You really don't want to get to that job in the first place. So why are you upset because someone is driving slow? You're upset because you didn't get up in a timely fashion. So now you're behind the time. So guess what? Who is the person that started this? Don't blame it on your kids. Don't blame it on your husband. Don't blame it on your wife. Don't blame it on traffic. Don't blame it on any of those things. If you're unhappy with your life, then you need to make some changes. If you're unhappy with your life, then you need to make some changes. You need to make some adjustments. You need to face some facts and understand that you are the chief orchestrator of your happiness and you are the chief orchestrator of your joy. If most of us could get over that little tidbit of information, if we could take that and accept that and move forward with it, the world would be a lot better place. Why? Because people would see things as they are and not try to make them into something that they are not. However, know this now. If you are willing to do what is necessary, you can have all of the joy, all of the happiness, and all of the things that you want. If you're willing to step out of your own little box and try to help as many people as you possibly can, guess what? Those people, some of them and enough of them, are going to be reciprocal. And what's going to happen? What's going to happen is that you're going to have all of the things you want. There was an old saying, and I've heard several motivational speakers say it. Brian Tracy said it. Zig Ziglar said it. Les Brown has said it. Tony Robbins has said it. A whole slew. Darren Hardy has said it. A whole bunch of people that have basically walked the walk and talked the talk in their own arenas have said this. Even Jesus said it, or it was said in the Bible. If you help the many, you will never want for anything. And why will you never want for anything? Because by helping the many, you not only help the many, you also help yourself. And how do you help yourself? You help yourself on so many levels that it's almost unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, joy and happiness is around the corner. However, it is a state of mind, not just a state of being. If you talk to some of the richest people in the world, they would give their lives, they would give everything that they had, in some cases, for an hour without pain. For 10 minutes with someone that they wish they had talked to, but they didn't because they were too high up on their horse. They were too important. They were too self-absorbed to take the time to truly know or to get to re-know that person. They were so wronged, or feeling that they were so wrong, that they didn't take a moment to understand that life is fleeting, that time is constantly trickling out of the hourglass. You know, and on that hourglass, as those grains of sand, as those grains of time, those seconds, those split seconds, those milliseconds, as they click away, they cannot be held. You know, there was a show that I watched once, and in it, it was was a Greek, it was about Greek mythology. And in it, you know, the man's job was to get some information. Well, in order to get the information, he had to kind of face his greatest fear. And his greatest fear was a woman that he had loved and loved like no other. And what had ended up happening was he ended up leaving that woman because he wanted fame, he wanted fortune, he wanted his success. So he left this young lady not knowing that she was pregnant. So the woman was so distraught that this man had chosen fame and fortune over her that he actually took the life of their child. But he didn't know that he was going to be a father. So in this woman's rage, in this woman's anger, she took the life of their child. Well, the woman's punishment for taking the life of a child was that she would be condemned to basically long life. However, she would also have to be in a spider's web. So she became the black widow, so to speak. She was the keeper of the web, and there was this huge spider that lived there. And I'm going to get to the point. Anyway, the man that had defined his quest, his destiny was actually to go back and face his fear. Well, what he ended up finding out when he went into the lair is he found that the woman that he used to love was actually the keeper of the web. She was the keeper of the spider's space for time. But she had the answer that he needed to help the young man who was also in love with a young woman who also wanted fame and fortune and wanted to save the woman. These fates, so to speak, as in the young man and the old man, the young woman and the old woman, were intertwined. So anyway, the old guy goes and he finds the lady that, you know, would have been the mother of his child, again, not knowing that she was going to be the mother of his child, just thinking that she moved on with her life and, you know, that was her fate. So anyway, he finds the woman, he goes in there. And when he's in there, the woman tells him the secret that he needs to share with the young man. However, in order for him to get past the spider, there's only one way. And the only way is that if he basically forfeits his life and hers. Well, while he's talking to the woman, she's telling him how, you know, she's really sorry about what she did. It was a crime that he could never forgive her for, et cetera, et cetera. And the man tells her that he has forgiven her. And that if he didn't forgive her, how could he see her as young as she was when they had first met? So the woman looks into the mirror and she sees herself through his eyes. And she's just as young as she was before. All right, but of course, time has passed. Their time is over. So the woman says, well, the only way that you can get out of this web is if you break this hourglass that has this sand in it. However, please understand that as the sand runs out that she poured into his hands, because she broke the hourglass and poured the sand into his hand, she explained to him, as the grains of sand run through time and run out through your hands, you can get past the spider. However, the spider will kill us, will kill me, and the sands of time cannot be held. They can't be quelled. They can't be stopped. So the old man runs out, he runs along the web, he's holding the sand, and the sand just keeps coming out of his hand. He can't hold it, just like you can't hold the sands of time. And he makes it to the young man, and he tells the young man what the answer is and what he needs to know. And as the last grains of sand go through his hands, he dies. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how life is. That negativity for them actually was able to bring some joy to another young man, but that old man's life was over with. That joy that he could have experienced, that child that he could have had, that relationship and that love that he had for this woman, but he went for fame and fortune, was for naught. Why? Because he was chasing after a dream that really wasn't his dream. In the end, he got all of his fame and his fortune, but in the very end, he wished that he had chosen another path. He wished that he had been able to live that life and see that son born and all of those things. So again, when I say we need to guard our mind, I'm talking about the fact that we all need to understand that for everything that we get, there's something that we need to give. If we give in a more positive outlook, then we're always going to win. However, if we're always looking for what's next and what's in it for us, we're probably never going to win. We're probably never going to experience the joy, the oneness, the wholeness, or the wonder that the world truly has for us. Because in the scheme of things, ladies and gentlemen, we are all here but a blink of an eye. However, depending on what's going on, a moment can seem like an eternity. However, we spend a lifetime wishing and waiting for a moment, and most of us never experience that moment. Most of us never stop wishing for certain things to happen, yet most of us are not willing to do what's necessary to make those things happen that we say we want. We talk a good game, but we don't back it up with reality, with real action. You know, on the website, there's actually a saying, and that saying talks about the same mindset. It talks about this same thing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to live a life like nobody else has lived, then you just need to take a chance. You need to step out on your own and understand that that experience is yours. Words may lie, but actions will always tell the truth. If you truly want joy, you'll find a way to find joy. If you truly want happiness, be it man, woman, or child, guess what? You'll find happiness. But if you're looking for misery, trust me, misery is right around the corner. Misery is at your sleeve. Misery is at your feet. Misery is there waiting for somebody to keep it company. But if you're looking for joy, all you have to do is look right down, because that joy can knock that misery out of your way. That attitude that you have, that attitude should be an attitude of gratitude. You should be happy that you're here today, that you have the ability to do the things that you have the ability to do. And know that, again, most of us are a sad shadow of what we could be. We're a sad shadow of what we were meant to be. There's no reason to be upset, because guess what? Anything that's wrong, you can fix. Any goal that you want to tackle, you can tackle it and you can win. As one person said, you can wrestle that bear to the ground. However, you've got to be willing to step out there, take a chance, and do the right things. You have to not only forgive those around you, but you have to forgive yourself. Understand that once you forgive yourself and you start doing the right things to put yourself in order, and guess what? Everything else is going to fall into place. But as long as you keep blaming everyone else for your misery, you're going to continue to be miserable. You're going to continue to find misery. You're going to continue to experience the negative things in life. So today, right now, my favorite thing is give yourself 30 days. Well, that 30 days starts with one day. So today, let today be that one day. Let this morning, this evening, this afternoon be the start of that one day. Let's do it now. Let's go ahead and take the positive action and then repeat that again and again and again until, guess what, that negativity becomes a positive replacement that we use to replace that negativity with positive action. Let's take that positive action and make a world that we dream of. Let's each one teach one, and let's learn and grow. Let's stop trying to think that everyone, that somebody has to lose in order for the rest of us to win. All of us can move forward, and all of us can live a life worth living. What do you really want out of life? I mean, ask yourself, and what are you willing to give for it? Because guess what? If you're really willing to be happy, if you're really willing to live a life worth living, then guess what? You will. If you're not, then you're going to be miserable forever, and there's nothing anybody can do for you. You have to do it for yourself. Stop trying to change the world and first try to change yourself, because once you change you, everything else is possible. Once you change you and realize that you can do it, everything else will fall into place. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for your time and your patience. This is Zurian of the Zurian Show, and have a great life. It's up to you. Take control and run with it. Thank you very much, and again, take care and be well. As always, it's a pleasure and an honor to talk with you.